what I'm doing is helping moms work through destructive anger and burnout, understand that we don't have to stay stuck in those places. We can definitely work through anger in a healthier way and even model that to our kids. A common thought for young moms, especially who are feeling controlled by their anger, is that they will not be able to overcome it and they're going to have a terrible relationship with their kids. It just can be a really dark, scary place, and I'm here to just shed light and hope in that.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about the motherhood aspect of the many things that we cover here on the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. For a lot of us, that is something that we take part in every single day if you're a mom. And so there are many things that can be discouraging about motherhood, can be very exhausting. And my guest today, Natalie Hickson, is someone that has walked before us. She has a 20-year-old child and a few more after that. And her topic is on destructive anger. She has a story about destructive anger in her motherhood. And then she also has helped so many women to overcome that and has a lot of encouragement to share. So let's dive into this great conversation. Well, hello, Natalie. Thank you so much for joining us here. This is a topic that a lot of moms will find very encouraging because it can be very overwhelming being a mom. There's a lot of little people that need your attention, household tasks. It can sometimes feel overwhelming, especially if you don't have systems in place, which can be hard to establish, especially when you're a new mom or things happen that get everything gets derailed sometimes. So let's start by you telling us a little bit about yourself, your family, and your mission here on the internet.
Yeah. So I live in Bozeman, Montana with my husband.
Ooh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
beautiful up there.
It is. It's gorgeous. We have 3 daughters and they are currently 20, 16, and 13.
Okay.
The oldest is out. She's in Tennessee now at college. And what I'm doing is helping moms work through destructive anger and burnout, helping them understand that we don't have to stay stuck in those places. We can definitely work through anger in a healthier way and even model that to our kids. A common thought for young moms, especially who are feeling controlled by their anger, is that they will not be able to overcome it and they're going to have a terrible relationship with their kids. And it just can be a really dark, scary place. And I'm here to just shed light and hope in that. And even on the other side, now that I have older kids, how my story even offers so much hope with the relationship I have with my daughters now.
That's very encouraging. So if you're in this, I am going to just assume that you have some kind of background of working through this. So what is your story with anger and with being overwhelmed with your kids or with the house, or what is your story there?
Yeah. I think I forgot to mention too, I'm a certified professional life coach as well. And so that's, you know, part of where I use my expertise in that to help these mamas.
Yes.
But yeah, so, when my husband and I, high school sweethearts, when we got married, we moved in and we started, you know, some typical newlywed fights, I would think. But I can remember he's not a yeller and I was. And that's kind of what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. I grew up with yelling, just loud, kind of destructive anger. My parents are amazing. They've grown through their challenges as well, but that's what was modeled to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was completely different. His parents kind of avoided conflict.
Right.
When they were angry, it wasn't loud. And so I can remember just yelling at him one time in one of our fights, why won't you yell back at me? And he's like,
we don't yell.
That's not what we do.
Yeah.
And so So that's when I started to notice, like, there's definitely a difference here. Fast forward when we brought Enya, my oldest, home from the hospital. It was about the time she was 2, we started to really see the tantrums started to trigger me. And I this is not pretty. This is like really ugly part of my story, but I get really raw and vulnerable here because I want the mama who's dealing with this to hear it and relate, right? And so you would literally find me on the floor with her throwing tantrums. I'd be screaming too. She'd be doing her normal development 2-year-old tantrum. And here mommy's being super scary back. I'm threatening her. I'm belittling her. I'm spanking her too hard. I was just abusive. And it was so scary. And it was scary too because I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to overcome it.
Right, right.
And I thought it was kind of hopeless. My husband, a couple years later, my husband's like, let's have another kiddo. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Unless you come home from work, we can't do this anymore. And he actually did. He ended up starting to work from home and it helped a little bit, but it still was a problem for me. And I can remember one night nursing Sky, her sister, and Enya was having an epic tantrum. Mike's trying to put her to bed. I'm in a room with the door shut and I'm just getting more and more upset to the point where I scream out in rage, like, Enya, shut up, go to bed. And Sky stops nursing and she looks up at me with this horrific little baby crying face. And I knew I scared her. And although I had felt good in the moment to release that energy, right? I knew something was, we had to change. Like, this couldn't keep going. And so I was like, Enya needs a therapist because I obviously can't change. So if we can help Enya, then maybe I won't get so upset.
Just help her to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did. We booked the therapy appointment. She observed Enya and then she talked to us afterwards and she said Enya was perfectly normal for her age and development.
Yeah.
Natalie, you need to be in here. And I was like, wait a minute. But of course, she's good for you. You know, you aren't home with her. And she's like,
you're not
exactly,
seeing this.
That's
yeah.
why you need to be in here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was hard to hear, but it was deep down inside. I was so grateful someone was like, you can overcome this and we're going to get started on that. And so I did. I did 4 years of psychoanalysis therapy. It was great. Helped me understand a lot of things about me and some patterns. But I tell you, I left that after 4 years still having patterns of destructive anger. It had started to get better, but I still wasn't over the hump yet.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward, lots of personal growth, the Lord growing me. He led me into life coaching school. It was there where she challenged us. It was Christian life coaching school. She challenged us that if we were going to help people in Christian coaching, we needed to know the Lord because it's not us who's changing them. It's the Lord using us as a tool. And so she challenged us to get into the Word daily and spend time with Him daily. And it was at that time, setting up that practice, that I started to really see the Lord softening me. And a few years later, I got on a podcast with a friend and we talked about our motherhood anger journeys. And it was at that point, mom started reaching out and they're like, tell me more. I need to know about this. How do I overcome this?
Yeah.
And really it was through coaching in the very beginning that I really started to get the accountability to stay in a healthier place myself. And I felt like the Lord was teaching me things through coaching my clients on how to overcome these things in a healthier way. And so to kind of wrap up my story and where I'm at today, I'm helping mamas still work through these things. And for me personally, my daughters and my relationship is so amazing. Like, I can't even tell you to begin to describe how the Lord has redeemed and restored that, except through little things like my daughter telling me when I was helping her move out at college last year, you know, wanting to make sure I wasn't too much in her space. And this is Enya. She's the one who got the worst of it from me. I said, if I'm in your space too much, let me know. I don't want to, you know, overwhelm you or anything. And she's like, Mom, having you in my life, like here around me is lowering my stress level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then her just calling me now and telling me things are going on or asking for help. Goodness, just about 30 minutes before I got on here with you, she called me with something to help her work through. And And so just having a relationship that is redeemed and restored by the Lord and me faithfully walking through that with him has been such a blessing. And I'm so grateful to be able to help mamas do that today too.
Yeah, it gives you a story to share and come alongside and help others who maybe think that either what their toddler is doing is weird, because when it's your first kid, you don't know what's normal. And once you have several, you're just like, oh yeah, this is just what we do. But also the reaction that they might be feeling, you don't hear talked about much. And so it can feel very isolating, but it's also really good to know that those things can be redeemed. Because whenever you have so little experience behind you, you have just a two-year-old, you know, you haven't done a great job with your emotions toward the child, that's all you see. So you might not realize that there's a way that it can actually get better in the future. It just looks like, okay, this is bad. It's forever bad. Our relationship is literally destroyed. So it's so hopeful to hear that that's not how it turned out for you. And there's hope in that you can, you know, redeem that, or that God can redeem that. All right, taking a quick break from this episode to tell you about my brand new course, Simple Sourdough. This one has been a long time coming. I have shared about sourdough over on my blog and my YouTube channel forever, but I finally compiled all of the information that you need to be successful with sourdough, the starter, making your first ever loaves of bread, using the discard, so many things in my course, Simple Sourdough. You can find it at bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course. That's all one word, bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course. The coolest thing about the new Simple Sourdough course is that there's a corresponding private Facebook group that is for students only. I'm really excited that that'll be a place where when you have specific questions, there'll be other students in there, sourdough enthusiasts, and we can all learn from each other. This is usually such a valuable asset because a lot of times you'll have a specific question that you don't want to filter back through the course for. It's all there, but sometimes you just want other people who are on the same journey as you. And I'm really excited to provide that course, which just the lifetime membership comes with the purchase of the Simple Sourdough course. Again, you can find that at bit.ly/farmhouse sourdough course. So let's just start down at the very basic level. Someone notices that they are feeling triggered, or whatever word you want to use, by their child's anger, or sorry, by their child's behavior. What is the first thing that listeners should do when they start to feel angry in that situation?
Yeah. So I have this little thing I call sit and pray, and it's an acronym for stop, inhale, tune in, and pray. Right. And I like to shorten up and go sit and pee, because where's the best place? Usually a lock on the door, there's a bathroom.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if you can walk away from your kids, it's good to separate yourself for a few minutes and just take a breather. But if you can't separate yourself in that way, because you need to keep your eyes on where your kiddos are at, I say just move. So if you're on a couch, stand up and walk across the room, or sit on the floor, or just take an active movement. So you want to stop, separate, inhale. We want to start taking those deep breaths in, because that calms the nervous system. And then tune in. We're validating. It's okay that I'm upset right now. It's not okay that I want to use destructive behavior with it, right? And what's going on for me right now? Am I hungry? Are they hungry? Are we overstimulated? Did I just get some bad news? You know, it's just kind of taking that step back and going, what's going on? And then praying for strength. I usually don't say pray for patience.
Yeah, don't
I usually
test
just
that.
Want to pray for wisdom and strength. So that's like in the heat of the moment. And it's just a reset, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, one of the things to be able to work through those moments in a better way is to have awareness. We have to build our awareness on why are we getting triggered in the first place. And something that I'm giving your listeners, you have a link for, is the trigger tracker. And so we want to build awareness around why we're getting angry, because that helps us when we're moving into some of these triggering moments. We're taking a step back. We're looking at why all these things are happening, and how do we want to walk through this in the future? And what we're doing in those moments is really when we walk into another triggering event that we might process through the trigger tracker, we have more awareness about it. We're more in our thinking instead of checking out in rage, which is a big deal because we often just run through, you know, we're moms, we're busy, we're just trying to get through things. When the kids are upset, it usually feels like an inconvenience to us. But really, what we're trying to do, our hearts as mothers, is teach our children, how do we work through challenges in a healthy way? And that starts with you, right? The therapist. You need to be in here, Natalie, right? Not Enya.
Yeah.
Because once you figure out how to work through these things, you can model them to your kids and help them work through them. So the trigger tracker, it asks you to process, okay, what happened? I yelled at my kids. Why were you yelling at your kids? Because they weren't listening or whatever, right? We walk through that and it says, how do you want to work through this in a healthier way? I want to stop and inhale and take in what's going on. You know, and it even asks you for some biblical application. Sit and pray comes from Psalm 4:4. It's be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart and be still, right? So even in the Psalms, we're hearing, it's okay that you're angry. Just stop and breathe through that for a minute. And so by applying the trigger tracker, which I suggest doing after you've calmed down, just give it some space and go back and go through that trigger tracker. That's going to help build awareness around these moments and help you get into more of a sit and pray moment easier, right?
Yeah.
And then we also have recovery. And recovery is where we want to go back and take responsibility. It was okay that mommy was angry. It was not okay that mommy screamed at you. Please forgive me for screaming. What was going on for you? Why were you upset? You know, and helping kind of walk through that with your kiddos. I like to add a physical touch element, like a hug or hand on the knee. And if you can, a prayer, especially if it was like a really big deal, right? So recovery is important to walk through as well. And that adds the element of teaching your kids forgiveness and redemption, right? So we have these tools that we can start applying to our life. But I'd really like to also mention the difference between destructive anger and normal mom anger, and how anger is actually a good thing. But I want to let you ask questions. I've said a lot so far.
Oh, no, that's okay. I think that that will be a good thing to clarify. So what is the difference between that, between what is, I don't know if it all looks the same. Yeah, I don't know the difference. So go ahead and tell me.
Yeah. So I like to separate the two because anger in and of itself is not bad. It's a emotion that we were given, that we're, that's in our design from the Lord, right? Even he has anger, righteous anger. And so the feeling is okay. And a lot of times we'll feel a lot of guilt and shame associated with that feeling because maybe we were told that we couldn't be that way or there was something wrong with us for being angry. I mean, there's definitely times I'm even have said this to my kids, what's wrong with you when they're upset, right? Or just get over it. You're going to be okay because the negative feelings are uncomfortable. But feeling anger is okay. And so we want to tell ourselves that it's all right that I'm angry right now. So what's not okay is when we use our anger to control or hurt our relationship with someone. And that's where I call destructive anger. And that's that stuff like I dealt with too. The screaming, the belittling, the threatening, silent treatments, spanking or using physical force. That's hurtful, right? Not that, you know, I'm not an advocate for not spanking or spanking your kids. Definitely that's a choice that you have to make. But I had to choose not to do that because when I spanked, I was abusive in it. I couldn't control myself and do it in a healthy way. And so that's where we have that destructive anger. The normal mom anger, you might raise your voice. You might stomp your foot. You might do something to, you know, kind of like, I'm frustrated right now, you know? Sometimes we have to use a little bit of loudness to get their attention. We might have to slap our hands kind of loud or, you know, because maybe they're just, they've checked out in their tantrum or whatever. So we have to get their attention. But feeling that is okay and expressing it and just the way that we express anger is okay. Like you cry when you're sad. You laugh when you're happy. You're kind of like, ugh, you know, when you're disgusted, right? Or you have a fear response physically when you're afraid. For us to think that we're not going to have a physical response to anger it's silly. We need to recognize that it's okay to have a response to it. So how can we process that in a healthier way, have that energy in a healthy way? I like to tell moms, I like to go to the recycle bin. I like to go out there and stomp on boxes or throw a bottle across the garage.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Or take the kids with you and be like, okay, we're going to stomp on these boxes because we're obviously upset right now. I'll tell moms with littles, be like, okay, everybody, we're upset right now. We're angry. It's okay that we're angry. Let's roar like lions, you know? And I've had moms absolutely do this. Or I have had I had a client once who's like, ask their kids, what color are you right now? Mommy's red right now. Mommy just needs to take a deep breath. So learning how can we express this energy that we're getting from anger in a healthy way. It's okay to scream in a pillow or, you know, somebody, I think it was a therapist or counselor said, get a Nerf bat and let them hit a pillow. You know, here's your anger pillow, hit your pillow. As you can see, there's different ways we can express that anger in a healthier way. We just want the kids to recognize, I'm angry right now. There's a problem. You're not a problem. The problem's the problem. And mm-hmm. We're going to figure that out. But right now, we all need to calm down first.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned a few things earlier, like, am I hungry? Did I get bad news? There's certain things that I find if there's an environment set up where too many things happen at one time, that's whenever I can get angry. So if I have my schedule way too overbooked, so there's no possible way I could get all the things that I need to get done, then you have one little thing happen with the children and you can't take it. Or if for me, like a messy house, so too much clutter to where, you know, it feels overwhelming. If you have that going on, plus another, you know, couple of things at one time, hunger, like you said, I'll have times where suddenly I'm like, I'm on edge and I really am just didn't eat. Like I didn't eat enough food. And so I recognize that and okay, right. I need to get a snack or I'm going to be really angry. What are some of the other triggers or ways that you teach people maybe to set their lives up in a way that is less conducive to anger, more hopefully, you know, an environment that would make it to where everybody's, you know, not getting to this point, even though of course it's going to happen, but I'm sure you have some tips for avoiding it before it happens.
Yeah. And before I even go into that, I just want to say that we can have all the things set up. We can have our routines well. We can have our house like minimalist. We can have even a babysitter. We can have all these things. Like we can have a professional cook come in. Not, you know, we like to cook our own food, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like we can have everything set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still be triggered and use destructive behaviors. Those things are helpful, but that's not what's going to change your response to anger. It's a heart issue and we got to go to the heart and start creating those things in awareness, right? We need to, for those of us who believe, we need to go spend that time with the Lord and ask him, your desires, not my desires, your will, not my will, change my heart, Lord, search me, know me, right? Maybe it takes talking to somebody else and working through, you know, past issues and patterns that have been set up, because that's really where our response comes from. We're trying to protect ourselves and we're trying to, we just don't even know how do we work through anger in a healthier way, right? So I just want to say that right there is going to be the most significant to anything else that you do. It feels easier to organize your house and set up a great routine.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, then work through
take things out of your life than it is to work through the heart issues, what I say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also agree with there are definitely other factors, right? It does help to have things a little more set up. It does help to know, like hormones, huge. Hormones were a huge factor for me. And it took a long time for me to recognize that with my hormones off, or around my PMS cycle, I was a bear. And it seems like it would be obvious, but it really wasn't obvious to me. And a lot of people that I've coached, it hasn't been quite obvious to them either. And one of the things I tell them, track your cycle. start tracking. And even if you are nursing or just had a baby, start kind of tracking how you're feeling throughout the month. It's important to see these cycles that we come into. And if you are like me, who have girls, teen girls, track your kids' cycles.
I do have two teen girls.
That also helps when you start to get this like pushback from them and you start to feel like you're taking it personally. Like, wait a minute, where are they at on their cycle? And I don't even have to point it out to them. I'm just like, where are they? You know, this might be a factor. So hormones is
You can just think it.
Mm-hmm. Other things. So when we have something like maybe we have a fairly regular cycle, I know there's some who don't, and my heart goes out to those who are still trying to work through how do I get my cycle normal. And in that case, I like naturopaths for that. I think they do a really great job with hormones. So talk to your doctor or someone to help you work through that on the physical end. But if you kind of know when's your cycle, try not to plan as much that week. You know, maybe use a couple freezer meals that week, right? Do something that week that you just take a little lot more off your plate because you know I'm going to be a little more agitated. Communicate to your husband. I need help. I remember that was a hard thing for me. It's like, he works all day. I don't want to ask him for extra help, but he also goes to work and has employees that help him. So for me to think that I shouldn't need any help at home, that, you know, I need to ask for help from him too. And he's like, right, I would rather you ask for me to help even if I'm tired than for you to fly off the handle because you're tired, right? Like, just tell me what you need.
Yeah, right. Yes.
So communicating in that way. But definitely, you know, I did find alleviation in helping some things when I decluttered. I just listened to your declutter episode. I can't remember her name, but that was really good. Just recently. And then
Robin.
taking some things off your plate that you don't need to have there. Those things will all help. But again, it all goes back to the heart issue, right? And creating that awareness around what is going on for me and having that communication with your kids and your husband and kind of working through that in a long-term way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that all makes sense. All right, we'll take a quick break from this awesome conversation to tell you about my 5-day blogging business challenge. So if you followed along for a while, you might know that Luke and I have done this exclusively from home, the blog business, for over 5 years now. He quit his job and we run my blog. Now, I also have since added, of course, a podcast. I have a YouTube channel, but the blog in itself could support our family. And I love the passive income that the blog provides. It's the least invasive for our family life. It's the easiest thing to work around. If I had to get rid of every aspect of my business, the blog would be the last to go. I love to help students learn how to do this for their own families, for their own idea, their own business, with my 5-day blog challenge. So this is 5 days to narrow down your niche, craft your brand, and come up with a content plan for a successful blogging business. Blogging is one of those things that people think is dead, and I'm here to tell you that it is the most profitable part of my business, so it is so not dead. But the reason B, they think that, is because there's a strategy to it. It's not just a journal anymore. That kind of content's reserved for Instagram, for YouTube. It's different, but as big of an opportunity as ever. So if you are interested in figuring out, or you're just curious, it's totally free, about blogging, you can join my challenge by heading to bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. That's bit.ly/5-day-blog-challenge. It's case sensitive, so all lowercase. All right, hope that is helpful for you. So one of the other questions that I wanted to ask you during this is, what should listeners do if they've found themselves not enjoying motherhood due to anger and burnout? And this is a question I get a lot, because with having a very curated, you know, YouTube channel, Instagram, I show 20-minute little blocks of my life throughout the week. And so people fill in the gaps in their brain and assume like I'm never flustered, never frazzled, which is, you know, obviously not true if you think about it for like 5 minutes, but it's not something that we tend to think about with other people, just our own selves. Like, this is just me. I'm the only one like this. But a lot of moms feel very burnt out and like they don't enjoy motherhood. And so what should they do about that?
Yeah. Especially if they're sitting there afraid, thinking they're alone. And this might be the first time they ever heard someone say that I screamed at my daughter in rage. I hurt her physically. Those things, right? Feeling alone is a big deal. Feeling like you can't talk to anyone and that if you do, they're going to take your kids away. That's also a big deal. But I remember the thoughts of, why did God give me these kids? Obviously, I can't be their mom. They'd be better off without me. I'd be better off without them. Lots of those thoughts. And I will tell you, this is going to seem real simple and profound, but keep telling yourself that and you're going to keep walking down that path. We have to have a mindset shift. We have to recognize, what does it say? We're supposed to focus on good, lovely, true, right? And so you sitting in that spiral, that's where you're at. You're spiraling. You're telling yourself that you're not good enough, that your kids aren't good enough, that you can't get out of this, that you're never going to find any joy. I remember going through, the Lord had me walk through a practice of just thank me for everything. Thank me. I'm like, well, I'm not going to thank you for that trial. And he's like, thank me for that trial because of what you're learning because of that trial. Right. And so it's this mindset shift of, it's not everything's terrible. It's, what can I learn from this? What are my kids learning from this? When one of my clients comes to me and they're like, I blew it again. I'm like, sweet. Good job. What'd you do? How'd you recover? What'd you learn from this? How did you teach your kids? Because if your kids don't see you work through these things, if they don't ever see you get upset, if they don't ever see you have these challenges, then how are they going to know how to work through it when they're an adult? Because when they get older, they're going to get upset too. Right. And so we have to look at our challenges and go, these are things that we get to learn from. They're not things that are showing us that we're terrible humans, because you're not a bad mom. I don't care if you just yelled at your mom this morning or your kiddos this morning. You're not a bad mom. You just need to know how to work through that emotion in a healthier way. But you're not bad. And it's okay that you felt angry. And you're not the only one who's going through that right now. And so it's important.
Right.
One of the things that I'm coming to learn even now is I don't want to question God's goodness, faithfulness, or existence. I need to go, what are you teaching me in this? Why are we walking through this challenge? How can I grow from this? And thank you that this is in my life, that I get to learn from it and teach my kids how to learn from these things as well.
Yeah. Being a mom can be very sanctifying. One of the interesting questions that I see from the Instagram questions is it possible to develop a tolerance for frustration? So do some of these things also just get easier over time, the more times you're frustrated?
Right. I remember that was a question I asked my therapist. I was like, will I ever not get angry? And she's like, no, anger's
right.
You know, you're supposed to get angry. Like, oh yeah. So I think part of the thing is we go to war with ourselves when we start to feel that emotion of frustration and anger. We start to get mad. Like I was saying earlier, there's this guilt and shame associated with the feeling. And so we start getting mad at ourselves for being angry in the first place. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's recognizing this feeling is okay. And I think that's a big part of it. And if you're recognizing a theme, mindset is key. Mindset. It's how we're talking to ourselves. It's how we, what are we applying in our mind and adding, what are we taking in? And if you are constantly scrolling on something like Instagram and you're just looking at all the highlight reels of people's lives, you're going to sit there feeling incapable and not good enough. Because you're not seeing the bad stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't post a fight with me and my teenager on Instagram. That's
a
violation
shouldn't.
Of her privacy.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, we've gone through some things. We've gone through a lot the last 2 years, one of my teenagers and I. And we've had to overcome and work through a lot. And we did, but it wasn't pretty. And so recognizing that what you're going through is not abnormal. Your kids are normal. You are normal. Look at your kids age and development, look it up and see this is normal behavior for them. Mm-hmm. As far as you feeling frustrated, do you build up a tolerance? I see that the more awareness that you bring, that you create, that you dive in and start going on, what's going on for me? Why am I feeling this way? That helps. I got to a place where sometimes I couldn't do a full sit and pray. I couldn't just separate, right? But I would do that reset in my head. And I still do that to this day. But when they were younger, I'd be like, okay, this is just a moment. This is frustrating. It's okay that I'm frustrated right now. They're going to get through this. We'll walk through this. We'll get through this. Like, and so you start talking through. One of the exercises that I use and teach is during a mundane activity, like let's say you're making bread. Okay, I'm pouring in the flour, I'm pouring in the salt, and you're just speaking this out loud. I'm pouring in the sourdough, I'm mixing it up. And what you're doing is you're keeping your mind focused on what you're thinking and in the moment. And that's a practice that you take into when you're frustrated. Okay, I'm frustrated right now. The kids are fighting. We just got back from going to the library. Everybody's hungry. This is normal. Of course, they're going to be upset and frustrated and fussy right now. So you're talking yourself through it instead of going, okay, I can't handle this.
Right.
You're driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to explode.
Right. Yes.
Right. Watching what you're saying and staying in that moment.
Yeah. And I think too, like, as far as the, can you get used to being frustrated or whatever the question was, a tolerance for frustration. What you're saying is you're kind of like talking yourself through it. Like, this is all going to be okay in about 15 minutes. And that, I think, maybe not like a tolerance to frustration, yeah, but you at least get to where you've had enough times like that to where you try to talk yourself through. Like we get, every time we have to leave our house and we have to be somewhere at a certain time, usually things can get like, we can get a little bit frazzled because everybody's running and trying to figure out whose mm-hmm. shoes, whose coats, you know, it can get crazy. And I always think to myself, if I get frustrated, I'm like, now listen, how many times have I done this? And it turned out totally fine. We're always on time. I didn't have to freak out in order for us to be on time. Like, it's the same action. It's right? Just whether or not my brain decides that this is like very upsetting or it's just normal. So that the more of those situations you have under your belt, I do think the more that you can remind yourself that literally in 20 minutes from now, this is going to seem like nothing. So why do I have to have this reaction whenever I'm feeling this, even though I know I'm about to be all the way through it?
You know, I think too, just asking the question, am I going to build up a tolerance to frustration? My question back, very coachy question, is where's that coming from? Like, why is being frustrated a bad thing? Why is that uncomfortable for you? And that's really a heart issue. Like, mm-hmm. It's okay that you're feeling that way. We don't want to get rid of our anger, nor can we. And so when we quickly learn to accept the feeling, that's why you've heard me say it so many times, it's okay that I'm angry right now. There's nothing wrong with me for this. It's what I do with my anger. I need to take my thoughts captive through Christ, right? I need to stay in this moment and ask for strength so that I don't explode on everybody. But the fact that I'm irritated and frustrated right now is normal. Just as normal as my 3-year-old throwing a fit over not getting the
anything
crust cut off their bread. Right?
Right, right.
Or my teenager saying, good morning. I'll say that.
Let me have my coffee first. Like... Yeah. Well, and sometimes you just need to hang out with more moms and more kids. I've had my husband say before, like, certain things that he thinks are unusual, like behavior wise of our kids. And I'm like, oh, you just haven't been around enough moms and kids. Like, if you're not seeing other people's kids and you're only seeing it through like their very perfect behavior, whether that's at church or homeschool co-op, you're not seeing like the behind the scenes. Like, cause even kids at around, I'd say probably like age 4, most of them, some not, develop a social awareness of like how to act in public. Mm-hmm. And so you might think everybody else's kids are just really good. Like, they're always well behaved. Even my own, well, I better not call any names. I know people very close to me, very close to me, who say something about their own child that I'm like, no, they don't do that. Like, yes, they do. They just don't do it in front of you. You know? Right. And so I think it's important too, to just, I think knowing what's normal is really helpful.
we're constantly comparing. I mean, I remember talking to one of my clients once, and she was talking about her kids on a sports, or one of her kids on a sport team. And she was just saying all the things that she was like struggling with watching her kiddo. And I was like, and you were sitting there thinking that about your kiddo when the kid next to you or the mom next to you was looking at her kiddo thinking the exact same thing, looking at your kiddo thinking your kiddo was normal and hers wasn't.
Always.
Like, it's literally like we're far too critical. So it's important to, you know, instead of picking on what they are doing that we feel is a reflection on us, is really, that's the heart issue there. We're like, our kid acting in that certain way is a reflection on us. And honestly, there's some of that. Of course, our kids are going to pick up our patterns, right? But there's also the fact that your kiddo is their own person. They're their own little sinner too.
Yep, exactly. Yes, right? Absolutely.
And so as much as we would like to, we can't take credit for their behavior. Not all of it.
Not, yeah.
Right? So we do, yeah. We do need to take responsibility. We do need to help guide and teach them. But there is a factor too in the fact that they are just normal humans who have to go through their own stuff too. And they're also on their own journey. And the stuff that they're going through with you is going to help them at some point too. They're going to have to help. That's going to be helping them grow and learn. And my kids know. They know the story. They know my destructive behavior in the past. We've talked through it, and they know that someday, if it's not affecting them right now, it might. And they can come back and talk to me and say, Mom, I remember this happening. Do you remember this happening? And I can say, yes. And if I need to, help walk them through that, right? And so it's being open and vulnerable and taking responsibility for your things, but also recognizing they have a journey that the Lord is leading them on, and some of the stuff they need to go through to make them who they are, for what his purpose is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not always perfectly pretty all the time. And you're just not seeing everything of that other kid, you know, at the soccer game. You're not seeing what he did right after, like what he might've said or whatever. I think that far too often we compare, and it's even worse today. And I don't think a single episode goes by where I don't at some point have to just like call out social media, because
right.
It's such a struggle, and it can really make all of these patterns worse. Not to say you can't struggle. Obviously, you didn't even have social media when this was a struggle in your early motherhood. But I do think that sometimes it even like magnifies it and makes it even worse, because we're so distracted. And what will happen with me is, you know, there's this normal life going on around me, just normal stuff like, you know, the house needs to be clean. I need to make lunch. There's maybe a toddler throwing a tantrum. We got to do homeschool. And then you also have like random input, who knows what, coming at you. There could be something that's either scary or like something, you know, news related that could be scary, or I'm in social media, you are too. So there could be some kind of comment or a message, even just for me, even like an annoying message that's not even like bad, but just, I don't know, something I've been asked 5 million times can be like, yeah, it's just one more thing coming at you, you know, and you're inviting it in and letting it come in.
Yeah, it's processing all the stimuli.
Right. Yes. Too much.
Like, okay. You know, and it's the same thing there too. I mean, you can go to that chart tracker. You can do that for anything. I've had moms use that for even miscarriages before, like helping them process. And that's the thing. Stopping and giving yourself a moment to check in and process what's going on for me.
Mm-hmm.
How am I projecting my feelings out onto my kids or somebody else because I don't want to deal with it or don't know how? How can I work through this? How can I offer empathy and compassion in the situation? And so it's working through, like it's so multifaceted. And if we can just stop and give ourselves a moment, you know, and also connecting with the Lord, asking him to help show us, it helps to, again, what we're doing with all of that is creating awareness.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on for me? How can I apply a healthier balance in processing emotions to these situations?
Yeah.
And knowing I'm going to make mistakes. I'm still going to mess up. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes with my kids and my family. And I have to go back and do recovery and take responsibility for it. And then work through, you know, that restoration process with them.
Yeah. Well, that's encouraging to hear, because you might think that, like, you know, people might tend to think that you've like arrived and it's no longer hard for you to do certain things. Yeah. But we all know that's not true.
As important just to know too, is like other events, like when my teenager was going through her normal development stuff, just at the same time that we had dropped off her oldest sister, who they're very close, and now Enya states away from us. That was a really rough 6 months for us last year. And Sky's going through her stuff, plus missing her sister. I'm going through like birthing my child out into the world, because it really does feel like that. It feels like another birth.
Yeah.
So interesting. I had a friend tell me that. I'm like, wow, it's so true.
I'm not there yet.
I'm working through the emotions of, yeah. You know, you get to the other side. It gets easier. But I'm working through those emotions. And there was a lot of clashing between me and her in that moment. And it, you know, I even got to the point where I started to feel like, am I reverting? What is going on with me? And the Lord's like, hello, get back to me. Use your tools. How would you coach yourself right now?
Right.
Use your tools and give her space and help her walk through this in a healthier way. Right. And so it just took coming back to, oh yeah, I'm overwhelmed because of this is really big event in our life. And I need to go back to the basics and work through these things so that I can get, you know, get back into my normal processing routine. And so knowing that life events, death, kids moving out, even good things, like I'm hearing we might be thinking wedding here in the next couple of years because she's got a serious boyfriend, you know, like those things, even good, right? Even good will be challenging to process through. And so it's going back to, how do I stay in awareness, connect with the Lord, and walk through these things? Because I know that it can, it's just a cup, you know, we get our cup up to this top and something pops in and we spill out. What are we going to spill out? Are we going to spill out healthy processing? Or are we going to spill out rage and destructive behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And if we do, how do we clean that up and get back into, are we lowering that water in our cup, right?
Yeah.
To a healthy place.
So much good encouragement. The tracker, I want to verbally say it, it'll be down in the description box. It'll also be in the show notes, but it is nataliehickson.com/simple farmhouse life. Tell the listeners also where to find your, like how to work with you and where to find your resources. I see you have a blog, which has a lot of great articles on more in depth on what, you know, you talked about here. You've been on several podcasts, all that over at nataliehickson.com. But yeah, tell us where to follow along, how to work with you and all of that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. It's a big year. Just starting a podcast myself. My Sky, my 6-year-old, she's helping me get that going.
Cool. Yeah.
So that should be launching within the next month. And then I'm also writing a book. And so
Busy year, yeah.
And I know. Hoping that's out by the end of the year. And I just got back onto Instagram. I was on there for a while, took like a 3 or 4 year break. And so I'm back on there for business.
And I'm that's a nice mama break.
Coach. Yes, it was.
Okay.
But so that's angry nice, mama coach. And, you know, if you download that trigger tracker, you'll get on my email list. You'll get the updates on all the things and podcasts. And so those are the places that you can find me as well. Yeah.
Yeah. All good stuff. Like going on your podcast, reading your blog articles, you were talking about putting the right things in your head. You know, we need to be in the Word. There are certain people who have walked before us on this and have a lot of encouragement to share, to constantly put into your brain. And I have a few people too like that, that I like to listen to their podcasts, follow along with, just so that I can get my brain reset on what I should really be focusing on. If you start to, you know, just go more in a destructive thought pattern. So, yeah. So much good information over there at nataliehickson.com. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Natalie, for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I will see you in the next one.